Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Hey, America is back today. That's what the talk is and the, what's trending all over America on Fox Sports Radio. I'm back, baby. That's what we're talking about. I've been preaching to you for years now about Tom Brady.
Tom Brady could do that.
Tom Brady could do that.
Or as I like to call him, Tom Baby, because that's what he was after he turned in another stinker on national television. It wasn't ugly, Chris Broussard. It was fugly. That's what the numbers were. Brady, 26 for 48. 216 measly yards with all the weapons. Everybody's been bragging about, look at his weapons. Look what he has. The Bucs won't be able to be stopped. Tom Brady had two touchdowns, two interceptions, another interception that was dropped. He had a what looked to be a fumble in the end zone. That was called an incomplete pass. A 62.5 passer rating, which was his second lowest of the season, and he was at his. He was getting 4.5 yards per attempt. I'll go on and on. Chris Broussard kept telling us, "Look at his passes down the field. Nothing's wrong with his noodle arm." Be quiet, Chris. I don't want to hear from you yet. Just relax. Sit back, drink your cocoa, and take this.
It's tea.
All right, your tea.
Take this. This is something.
Just be quiet.
You got featherweight punches.
Just be quiet.
Give me something new.
I'm already giving you all the numbers.
I hear this every 3 weeks when they lose.
It's every time they play a good team.
The same old Tom Brady with the same old
Tom Brady.
Music
all right, Tom Brady times. Wilts. And down the field?
My goodness.
You know what his passer rating is down the field in their four losses? 9.3. Not 93, 9.3. And last night he was 1 for 9 and passes 15 yards or more downfield. Two picks in their four losses. Brady, no touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and is completing 25% of his passes over 15 yards. And he already has more interceptions this year than he had all of last
year. More touchdowns,
year.
Too. Don't forget
well,
that.
I'm talking about, it's my turn. When you want to talk about the one more touchdown he has, five. I'm telling you.
One more interception,
you.
Too. I mean,
let me do my numbers that are important.
You've got
be
music.
Quiet.
You got everything. You
be
interrupted
quiet.
My introduction. I mean, my goodness.
Here's the other one. In the games against top 10 defenses, Tom Brady, 1-4, having thrown 8 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. And again, last night, as much as people try to say, Tom Brady's a great teammate, everybody loves Tom Brady. Tom Brady's not only a sore loser, he's a loser. And again, walked off the field without shaking the hand of Jared Goff. How disgraceful is that? That's the second time he's done that. He did it earlier this year when Nick Foles and the Bears beat him. And he did it to Nick Foles in the Super Bowl. But, of course, when Tom Brady and the Patriots beat Jared Goff, he was there to shake his hand. That's a loser move from a guy of Tom Brady's caliber to be that coarse and callous. It's all right for him to want to stand there and shake people's hands when he wins. And he's won a lot. But he can't stand there and take it like a man. Tom Brady was off that field so fast. I thought he had to try to make it to the early bird special at the Howard Johnson's. That's how bad it was.
I read that in your column. Can you come up with something new?
No. And Chris, I don't care what you say. You can go ahead. I doubt you have tea in that cup. Because I think today is the day the minister's drinking a little something else to make you feel good and make you believe what you're about to tell me. Because I ain't no way no how, you still believe Tom Brady's going to take the Bucs to the Super Bowl.
That was nice. That was nice. That was nice. You know what? That was cute, Rob Parker. Real
nothing
cute.
Nothing I do is cute.
For your information, I do have chai tea latte in my cup. All
what
right?
is
and that's it.
In
nothing
there.
Else. Nothing else. All right. Let me give y'all the facts. Since Rob is just all into his narrative and, you know, I've been telling you for years. Let me tell you why you can't believe a word Rob Parker said.
I'm the poo-poo king.
Because he's right. He has been telling you for years. He's been telling us since 2012 that Tom Brady would never win a Super Bowl again. And guess what? 3 Super Bowl rings later, he's still telling us the same old thing.
Talk
no,
about to
no,
last
no.
night.
Hold
Talk
on.
About
it's my
last
turn.
Night.
It's my turn. I'm not going to sit here. Y'all know me. Y'all know I keeps it R-E-E-L, real. That's right, R-E-E-L, real. And Tom Brady stunk up the joint. Tom Brady was bad last night, and it's becoming a pattern. No doubt about it, you won't get me carrying his water saying, oh, no, he really looked good. But will it make me come off of my Super Bowl pick that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, led by Tom Brady, will reach the Super Bowl? No way, no how. Because here's why. Tom Brady's looked bad before during the regular season. Need I take you back to 2018 when the Patriots started 1-2? When they lost 2 of their last 4 games? When they went through a 5-week stretch where they lost 3 games? And we heard the announcer say this about a Tom Brady throw?
Worst throw in 10 years by Tom Brady.
That's Rob Parker's favorite song right there. Worst throw in 10 years by Tom Brady.
Worst throw in 10 years by Tom Brady.
Guess how that season ended up? That's right. With Rob Parker walking out of a restaurant we were at with his tail between his legs as Tom Brady beat Kansas City, reached the Super Bowl, and won number 6.
I had to use the bathroom, and I like to use public bathrooms. That's why I left.
That's right, folks. And let me tell you something. Bruce Arians, get over yourself. All right? This ain't about you. It's not about winning your way. It's about winning with your personnel. And Tom Brady is 43 years old. And he can't throw. You're right. He was throwing the long ball great early in the season. But I guess as time's gone on, the arm's gotten weaker as the season's gotten further.
And what did I tell
and he's
you?
Not
you don't get better when
well.
You get older. You
well,
get
he
worse.
He'll get better. I think he'll be fine. But they're going to have to make some adjustments. You don't keep throwing up threes like the Houston Rockets when they're not going in. You read the numbers, Rob. Brady never did that in New England. He didn't just throw long ball after long ball after long ball. He's thrown more long passes 20 yards or plus than any other quarterback in the league. He's 43.
Chris,
can we run the ball? Hold on. You had your time with music and the like. Can we run the ball? We got Ronald Jones. We got Leonard Fournette. Our offensive line can't protect Brady long enough for him to have room to throw the long ball with accuracy. He needs it at his age. So let's start checking down. Let's start throwing underneath a little more. Let Brady call some of his own plays. And then the Buccaneers will be rolling. And I will hear this music, Alex. We won't be rocking with that bad boy stuff. We will be rocking with the bongos. That's right, Rob Parker. You are sorely mistaken. You thought I was done. You thought I was through. You thought I would cower. But Broussard don't cower. Kansas City in the AFC. Tampa Bay in the NFC. Book it.
Put mouth is, Chris Broussard. But to step up, two pair of Jordans to one. No, I want you two pair of Jordans. I'll give you two pair of Jordans if Tom Brady gets to the Super Bowl. In fact, Chris, I'll make it three pair. Put up your pair of Jordans, Chris. So you're cowering. Put up your Jordans.
So you gonna give me three pairs?
Yes.
Let me make sure it is. Turn that music off. Let me make sure I'm hearing myself, because you ain't dealing with Martin Weiss, man. You ain't dealing with no young cat. Three. If the Buccaneers reach the Super Bowl, I didn't pick them to win it. If they reach the Super Bowl, I get three pairs of Jordans. You buy me three pairs of Jordans.
Yep.
If they don't, I buy you one pair.
Yep, that's the bet. Put your
and
money where your
mouth. And it's in the $200 area.
I didn't say right? all that now.
No,
I said Jordans.
Because, no, you're going to want to.
No more than 200.
You're going to want some 1,000 pair. Okay, yeah, that's
no
what I'm
more,
saying.
No
yeah,
more than.
I'm saying don't come at me if they don't make it.
Do it.
You want some special edition
$1,000
pair of Jordans. Okay.
No more than 200.
200. Okay. 3-1. Y'all get this on tape. 3-1.
Chris, go ahead. What you hesitating? Just say
I'm
yes,
with it.
Baby.
Yes.
Yeah!
Yes!
Yeah!
3-1!
Yeah!
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
But that's football, and we know how disjointed the college football season has been. But
it's been
college basketball could even be worse. College basketball could be way worse. And there was a good article today in Yahoo, and Pete Thamel wrote it, a former colleague of mine at the New York Times, and he just talked about how they're trying to travel, like, out of the conference. They're trying to play all these non-conference games, and obviously they want to play the NCAA tournament. And so far it's off to a horrible start. Here's a little something Thamel wrote in the column. Then I want to read you this quote by Rick Pitino, and then you
Rick
can
Rick Pitino finally
can
getting respond. It right after all these years.
Well, and I got a thought about that, but Thamel says this: college basketball is crumbling in front of us because of greed, competing agendas, and a lack of leadership. By foolishly deciding to play non-conference games, the sport is now risking what it really needs in the long term: a way to play conference games, and most importantly, the NCAA tournament. Now, here's what Rick Pitino said. Of course, he's at Iona now. Now, he said this: it's going to be a nightmare. They're just trying to rush it to get to March, and it's not worth risking everyone's health. They see the virus spreading like wildfire. Countries are shutting down, and we're trying to open up while it's spreading. It's going to be another season where we're not going to play the postseason. It's going to be a disaster. Now, before you praise Pitino, I'm just going to say this. I'm not sure he'd be saying the same thing if he were still at Louisville or Kentucky. He's at Iona. He's off the radar. He's off the grid. And, you know,
no, but
nobody's going to miss Iona.
Yeah, but the only difference is this is his chance back in after being – embarrassingly dumped out of major college basketball, Chris. So if anybody
he ain't
who wants
in
to get,
major college basketball,
well, but to get still. Back in it, he got a job at Iona where most people didn't think he'd get another job. I mean, there was prostitution going on in the basketball dorm on campus. I mean, how many guys, you know, supposedly he had sex in a restaurant, you know, I don't
that
know.
That was ordered way before the, with a woman that wasn't his wife. That was way before the, scandal at the at
yeah,
the
I'm
students.
Just saying, but with all the stuff.
Okay, so you don't think it's self-serving?
No,
like, look,
I don't.
I'm not saying what he's saying isn't right, but I think his motivation's a little.
Yeah,
little
I don't off. Think so. I really don't, because he's motivated to get back in, and that's why he's doing. I'm sure he doesn't need the money, Chris. You know what I mean? He's trying
He wants back in,
and he's in the Hall of Fame already. He's in the Hall of Fame. He has all his money, so he wants to get back so that he could get to a program and then put a nice bow that he had a redemption story. Do you know what I mean? Like for Rick Pitino.
It ain't going to happen at Iona.
No, but I'm just saying. But anyway, I think this is all about greed and this whole notion of we'll do whatever it takes to get us to March Madness. That's where we get the big pile of money from CBS and TNT. Right. That's what it's about. And the idea that these college kids, we saw what college football is, Chris. And why in the world are you traveling around to all these games and places with no fans? What sense does it make? Does it make any sense to you?
I said last week, I don't mind them playing. Obviously, you're going to have some more than bumps in the road. I mean, you're going to have some severe ditches and peaks and valleys. We saw Dabo Swinney go off. I think he's wrong for the way he went off on Florida State for canceling their game. I get it. They could have done it more than 3 hours in advance, but still, you have to understand, in these times, it's going to be different.
Things are going to be fluid. It's fluid as we go.
So I'm fine with them trying. And I'll be honest, I'm fine with college basketball trying. But it may get to a point. This is different than football. At least football is outside. You know what I'm saying? Like, college basketball is indoors. It's not going to be a bubble like the NBA was. So they may not be able to do it. I'm fine with them trying. I do think, as Stammel said in the article, they should scrap the non-conference games. Just try to play in conference so you're not traveling as far. And then if you can get to an NCAA tournament and they can do some sort of a bubble with that, you know, like they're talking about, not an NBA bubble, but, you know, something to that effect, then I think you try that. Look, I get it. Obviously, the NCAA is greed. But at the same time, there are a lot of people caught up in that who, you know, would lose jobs, who really need their jobs. The kids do want to play. So I just think, like you said, it's fluid. And in 2 weeks, they might have to say, you know what, we can't do it. But I'm fine with them trying. But right now, it's looking like it's going to be very difficult to pull off. And they better, like I said, cut out the non-conference games. You're going to have to pare it down. Rob, we talked about it. Major League Baseball played basically a third of their games.
Right. If baseball can make from 162 to 60, why are you trying to have a full season? I don't get it.
Teams can only play 20 games instead of 30 or even 16 instead of 30, whatever it might be, so be it. But you're going to take somewhat of an L, right?
Right.
You got to know that going in.
And, Chris, vaccines are on the way, and we get through this year, and then maybe we get through this year, 2021, and then next year everything is kind of back to normal. We got a vaccine that people feel comfortable with, you know what I mean? And at least, Chris, if you get something, you know there's something that can help you, and the people who have underlying issues and compromised immune systems, they have something. And it's a lot easier. The flu is always around, Chris. The flu ain't going nowhere, right? But there's a vaccine for it. We know how to treat it. We know how to deal with it. And there's a flu season, and we kind of protect ourselves and go on. So that can happen. It ain't going away, you know, like COVID. Right. It's not going away.
I mean, all the indications are that it's about to get a little bit worse.
Right.
You know, for the next month or maybe even a little bit longer. Look, Duke, Arizona, and Tennessee all canceled games that were scheduled for yesterday due to COVID. I believe next Monday. A few of the A-list coaches that have tested positive, you got Jim Boeheim at Syracuse, Tom Izzo at Michigan State, Rick Barnes at Tennessee, Scott Drew at Baylor. Like, it's hitting everybody. And some more of these quotes, Rob, an anonymous conference official: at this point, I'm not sure why we're trying. I wonder if in like 10 to 14 days it will be shut down. Go ahead.
When you talk about the lack of leadership, Chris, do you remember the last time college basketball got stopped? It got stopped in the halftime of a game. After the NBA had already pulled the plug the night before, somehow college
basketball.
Wasn't
that the Big East?
Yeah, the Big East had a game.
Yep.
And Chris, at halftime, they pulled the plug. We were like, what? You mean the NBA pulled the plug the night before and you were going to go on with college kids the next day?
No, you're right.
Leadership?
What it was about? It was about the money.
They wanted to get the tournament in. Yep. Oh, my God, the Big East. We sold tickets. What do we? We got TV, ESPN, whoever's going to broadcast the game.
Right.
That's
what
they wanted.
About.
Yeah, and this is the NCAA is being exposed now. And
big
again,
time.
I get it, because there's good there are some definitely greedy people, but we know it, Rob. There's also a lot of, you know, well-meaning people that this is their livelihood. You know, they're working at the lower rungs of the NCAA.
I get all that, Chris, and I respect that about people's jobs for real. But you can't play well with people's health just because, you know, we've all sacrificed. We've all suffered. And it's unfortunate. I have friends, you know, who own restaurants, Chris. It's horrible, man. I know people, barbershops have been shut down all over the place, back and forth. My nephew's barbershop in New York, my barbershop in Detroit. You know what I mean? So people have been hurt by this.
Yep. Nah, no question. Now, the Ivy League, of course, canceled its season. They were the first to cancel football. They were also the first to cancel basketball. It was a week within the last 2 weeks. Do you think at this point, Rob, they should just cancel the basketball season or give it a, you know, a couple more weeks to try?
I don't know. I mean, if they feel compelled to try, Chris, go ahead and try. I'm not going to sit here and say they don't want to try, but all the indications are bad. And now with the holiday too, and some kids going home, and I think the worst is yet to come. And did you see, was that Tuesday? What day was that? This weekend or whatever, with the travel, 1 million people flew, and they said it was the most people who flew, Chris, since March. That's
now,
how many people.
I saw something on the news about that. More people are flying, but
for Thanksgiving, so people are traveling. I thought people would just not, you know, go it alone and just have whoever you've been with the family during this. You would just have a small Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. We actually all got COVID tested.
You said
my wife, myself,
your mother-in-law is coming, right?
She's not even gonna come.
She's not coming?
No, because she's, you know, obviously older.
Right.
And she just, you know, she just wants
leery.
To, which I get, yeah. I mean, she's leery, and you know, like I said, my father-in-law died of COVID.
Right. No.
Yeah, so she just wants to be extra careful, which we get. You know, my parents, my brother was going to go to see them in Cleveland.
He's not going
to
go.
He's not going to do that now. And they wanted it. They were under him like, don't come. You know, it's not worth it.
Right.
So it's myself and our daughters and my wife, and all four of us just got tested. I just got tested a couple days ago, and I don't have it. So
knock on wood. Thank God.
Yeah. But you're right. You got to be extra careful. Give them a couple more weeks, and if it just keeps spiking and getting worse, at the very least, you should just say, look, we're postponing until January or even until further notice. You know what I mean? Like, you may not have to just say it's off, but you're going to have to postpone it if things keep getting worse.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
This is the moment we have been waiting for since we voted. You and I don't know what the athletes' order will be or even what 20 athletes will be in it. But this is the top 20 athletes of the past 20 years. Or in other words, the top 20 athletes of the 21st century as picked by the Fox Sports Radio staff. All right, Alex, let's do it.
Countdown. 20.
Countdown.
Number 20.
We're counting down the top 20 athletes of the past 20 years. Number 20, Sidney Crosby.
Crosby, and he scored!
In his 15 seasons, Crosby was twice named the winner of the Hart Trophy, given to the league's most valuable player. The three-time Stanley Cup champion won his first cup in 2009, then went back-to-back in 2016 and 2017. As a member of the Canadian Olympic men's hockey team, Crosby won gold medals in the 2010 Games in Vancouver, and then again in Sochi in 2014.
All right, Rob, Sidney Crosby at number 20. And look, this is not just one sport. It's not just the big four, you know, football, basketball, baseball, hockey. It is everything.
Yep.
You think
but Crosby deserves to be there, man. He has been a stud in the NHL and a winner.
He's won championships. He's got individual awards. He's been what he was cracked up to be. I'm with you. No problem with Sidney Crosby being in here. All right, number 19.
Countdown.
19.
Countdown.
Number 19.
Number 19,
Barry Bonds.
It's gone! A home run!
Barry Bonds is baseball's all-time home run king, but also has a legacy clouded by allegations of steroid use and his involvement with performance-enhancing drugs. There's no doubt Bonds was the game's most feared hitter at the start of the millennium, as he led the majors in walks for five straight seasons. Bonds set the single-season home run mark in 2001, hitting 73 home runs that year. It was also in 2001 that Bonds won the first of four straight National League MVP awards.
All right, Rob, look, best baseball player I've ever seen, period, the end. I think he would have been higher. I mean, it's hard to say much higher because obviously you're going to have some great athletes in here, but I definitely think he would have been higher had it not been for the allegations of PED use.
Still believe he should be higher, even with that seven MVPs, won three in Pittsburgh, great player. Greatest player I ever saw, like from start to finish his entire career. He should be higher than 19.
Thing is this, never won a championship either. And I know it's a little different in baseball, but a lot of the great
the year that they lost to the Angels, Chris, in 2002, Barry Bonds hit 500 in the World Series.
All right, but hey, you don't get a ring.
No, just saying, though. You know what I mean? Like, what could he have done?
He struggled at other times in the postseason, but yeah, he was great in that one for sure.
Yep.
All right, that's great. Let's move on.
Countdown.
18.
Countdown.
Number 18. Number 18, Jimmy Johnson.
Jimmy Johnson wins at Homestead.
Johnson called it quits from full-time Cup Series racing at the end of the 2020 season, doing so with seven NASCAR Cup Series championships, tied for the most in history with Dale Earnhardt and Richard Petty. Johnson is the only driver to win five straight titles, doing so between 2006 and 2010, adding the other two in 2013 and 2016. The five-time driver of the year took the checkered flag twice at the Daytona 500, first in 2006, then again in 2013. His 83 career wins are sixth best all time.
Yeah, Jimmy Johnson, obviously a great driver. I don't have my list in front of me. I don't think I had any drivers on my list. But, you know, I know he's accomplished in what he's done, but
he got my vote.
I wouldn't put him ahead of Barry Bonds.
I agree, but he did get my vote. He should be on that list. Only problem is there's too many Jimmy Johnsons in sports. Let's just be honest.
Did you think they were talking about the coach?
No. But I'm just saying, in general, there's a few Jimmy Johnsons. You know what I mean? That's a common name.
Well, those are two very common names, first and last, Jimmy Johnson. All right. Let's keep it moving.
Countdown.
17.
Countdown.
Number 17. Number 17, Mariano Rivera.
Rivera. Strike three is gone.
The first ballot Hall of Famer was the first player ever to be a unanimous selection into Cooperstown. Rivera remains the game's all-time leader in saves with 652. And from 2000 until his retirement in 2013, Rivera made 11 All-Star appearances. Rivera ended up winning five World Series titles in his entire career, with the final two in 2000 and in 2009. The 2003 ALCS MVP is the only relief pitcher to win a League Championship Series MVP award and a World Series MVP.
All right,
Mariano was robbed. He was robbed, Chris.
You think he should be higher?
Yeah, Mariano Rivera had a perfect career, Chris. And what I mean, not that he didn't have any flaws on it, but when was Mariano Rivera ever bad, Chris? Can you tell me when?
Look, he was great as a closer.
He was never bad, though, is my point. He was never, and the Yankees wouldn't have won those five championships, all of them, without him. That's how great. He has the best whip of any pitcher, Chris, in the modern era. He also has the most saves. I don't know what Mariano didn't do, and the first player ever to be unanimous. I mean, that speaks volumes. He should be higher than 17.
I want to see what pitchers are ahead of him. But I get it. Mariano Rivera was an outstanding, the best closer ever. There's not even an argument about that. But I'm going to tell you, honestly, you might not like it. My attitude toward closers If you were good enough to be a starter, you'd have been a starter.
Oh, no, stop it.
I'm serious.
And I'm going to tell you why, Chris.
The best pitchers are the starters.
If the Indians had a closer, they might have won two other World Series.
That's how big it is. I was in the building that night.
You were there.
But I'm just saying, Rob, he threw more than 100 innings one time. Actually, he threw more than 80 innings once in his career. You know, 80 innings in a season. I'm just saying, if he was the best pitcher, he'd have been a starter. So I'm not buying that he was cheated. He's lucky to be on the list. And I love Mariano. He was the best closer ever, but closer, that's important. All right, let's move on.
16.
Number 16.
Number 16, Steph Curry.
Curry for three out of the way. Got it!
Steph Curry is a three-time NBA champion who was twice named the league's most valuable player, receiving the honor in 2015 and 2016. The six-time All-Star was tabbed as the AP Athlete of the Year in 2015 and was named All-NBA First Team three times in his career. Curry ranks third all-time for the most three-pointers made in NBA history, behind Ray Allen and Reggie Miller.
Rob? I want to keep watching the list and see who's ahead of him, but because he may be a little low, but I'm going to hold that judgment for now until I see who's in front of him. But look, he changed the game of basketball. That this dude, there's no doubt about it. He changed the game as we know it, and you deserve major props. He was the linchpin, the driving force. The most important player, I say Kevin Durant was the best player in those two championships, but Steph was the most important and on a mini dynasty or even a dynasty in some people's eyes.
He's too high. I don't even know if he's in the top 20 when you take all the sports in consideration and that he's an author.
How can he not be ahead of Mariano Rivera?
Oh,
I mean,
Mariano didn't choke.
You think Mariano should have been higher?
Yeah, but Steph is also...
Steph shouldn't have even been in the list.
I said when you talk about all the sports, not just the four majors, but when you include everything, and, you know, this guy basically hasn't made clutch shots. He's not
he's
the all-time...
He's got a 28-point-per-game average in
the
finals.
He's not the all-time leading three-point maker, and he choked down that 3-1 finals lead in the NBA, and he's 0-for-8 to put his team ahead or tie a game when it's on the line. So he doesn't make the big clutch shots. He's a nice player. Chris has had a great career.
Nice player. Nice player. I'm glad you laughed because that shows us you're not serious.
He's a nice complimentary
Steph Curry,
piece to the Warriors.
You,
like
there's
Draymond.
No way you can tell me Mariano Rivera should be higher
or
lower.
Not even
and
close.
Steph shouldn't even be on the list. Steph is definitely ahead of Mariano Rivera.
Hold on, Chris.
This list. Did Rivera change the game?
Hold on. Yeah, he threw the cutter every
Rivera's
time.
Rivera's like the basketball player that went in to shoot free throws now and then.
Here we go.
I mean, serious. Stop it.
Alex, play that big shot by Steph Curry in his career.
Oh, we never heard that. Wow. That's so funny, Rob. We never heard that before. Steph Curry has a 28-point-per-game average in the finals.
Except for when it matters.
In the finals. Really?
Yes.
He's got three rings, so I think he's delivered when it matters.
Yeah, I mean, thank God that Kevin Durant showed
Hayden.
Up.
Kevin Durant ran to the Warriors for cover.
That's all right.
Just, you talk about
then,
dropping a 3-1 lead.
And then
he
took
had just
the Warriors
it
like
them.
He took the Warriors like it was Steph Curry's lunch money.
Please.
Give me that team.
Please.
And he took it over.
Please. All right. That's it. That's the top 16 through 20 athletes of the century. This is interesting, Rob. I'm really interested. And I'm glad it's all the sports because that really puts some intrigue into it.
Yeah, because you got track and field, soccer.
Yeah,
you got all kinds
tennis,
of stuff. Right.
You got tennis, track and field, football. We haven't had a football player yet. So it's going to be fun. We'll do it every week. So make sure you tune in right here on The Odd Couple, 6:30 Pacific, 9:30 Eastern. That was just part one. And make sure you keep it locked every Tuesday night as we count down to number one. We'll do five each week.